but I think I should take an English one.
Is there something going on this evening that
I believe Tag hasn't finished yet.
Oh, wait, this is
the case that he was describing, the Holy Shabbos?
Or regular.
Random questions.
Rav Schreiber.
Johnny Brill, he's now shun of that. Don't be friends with him.
Liar.
You were talking about the Tarte de Sartre. In this case, the Tzibur is doing something wrong. And Akadekach, I'll tell you like another example. Let's say on a regular Shabbos, most kehilos, when do they daven mincha before Shabbos? How much time? 10 minutes, right? At best. So there's a mitzvah d'orais according to many, many Rishonim of Tosefa Shabbos. Right? So if you daven with the tzibur, 10 minutes, mincha, 10 minutes before Shabbos, so it ends up that you're probably not going to get Tosefa Shabbos d'orayso. Right, but most people don't. Most people usually finish. Chazor Sashat is usually finished by Shkia. Right, so Rav Lichtenstein told me it's also in the Shmir Shabbos Bilchasa that it's better. I mean, in other words, it'd be better to daven Shmoneh Esrei and then before Chazor Sashat, just mekabel Shabbos. But Rav Lichtenstein told me, and it seems that way from the Shmir Shabbos, that if you needed to, it'd be better to daven b'chidus so that you can mekayim to sefer Shabbos d'oraisa, then you know, then do tefillah b'tzibur. Yeah, that's what I know. In our shkuna, that's what we do. In our shkuna, we daven mincha 20 minutes before shkia, approximately. I know in yeshiva also the same thing. Yeshiva does that.
Is Ela considered Israel with respect to
Is Ela considered Israel with respect to one day or 2 days? Yeah, it's a. I would say 1 day. Yeah.
Do you make tea on Shabbos?
By what?
Do you personally make tea on Shabbos?
Make tea? Yeah, I do. I basically, Reb Chaim and the Rav held that you can make tea in a kli sheni. Reb Moshe Feinstein said in a kli shlishi. So I do it in a kli shlishi. I figure if I have Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Chaim, and the Rav, and Reb Lichtenstein, and Reb Shechter, like all together, I'm okay. Even though it's true, I know that the Chafetz Chaim brings down that there are people who are machmir, and that maybe it's a shaila of kares, and it's true. But it's true. But when we pass in halacha, we pass in halacha. That's what we. That's how we operate. You know, we give a psak halacha. You know, not everything that the Shulchan Aruch is machmir for, or the Mishnah Berurah is machmir for. We follow a posik, and that's it. You know, we have to. My feeling is with regard to halacha that we should have confidence in the halachic system. You know, in our Abonim, in our Masorah, and you know, if they pass now, that's what we do. That's what I think. I definitely understand when people are are concerned and worried and want to be extra machmir. But as long as they're doing it, if they're doing it out of no confidence in the halachic system, that's terrible. That's like what the Rama says. There are people who do not have warm food on Shabbos, and the Rama says those people you should be choshish that they're men. You're choshish that because they're not. See, having a cholent shows you're a true Jew. Without that, it shows that they don't have confidence in Chazal. Berak Shlishi of Masechta Shabbos, Barakira, is devoted to this whole topic. So I think having confidence in the halachic system is paramount. Okay, so I guess we're back to Glatt. We're good to go? Okay. So
basically, there are two
chazakos. Number one, Rov Shchitos Ksheros. If a person who knows what he's doing shechs the animal, we can assume that he did it right. And number two, Rov Behemos Brios. We can assume that most animals are healthy, as we talked about and demonstrated from the Gemara Kulin. Most animals are considered healthy. And therefore, when the Mishnah and Chulin listed 18 simani trefos, the 18 types of different holes and problems that could trafe up an animal, we can assume that the animal doesn't have that problem. We don't have to worry about it. But then we mentioned that there's a Rashi in Chulin, the Daf Yud Beis, that said that this is true for 17 out of the 18 simani trefos. We don't have to worry about them. But for one of the 18, we do have to be worried. That's called nekuvas hareya. That with regard to a hole in the lung, we do have to worry. Why? So Rashi basically says that it's a miyut hamotzu. It's true that it's a minority amount, but it's a shchicha ba reuso, says Rashi. It's not so infrequent. It does happen. It's not a majority of time, but it's a mir hamatzoi that does occur. And in fact, when you look in Achronim, typically the way Achronim divide things up are as follows. When you talk about rov and miut, so they say there's rov and there's miut. Miut divides into two types of categories. There's miut hamatzoi, and there's a frequent minority, a strong minority, and there's a miut she'eno matzoi. It's a very infrequent minority. So where do you draw the line between those two minority categories? So Achronim, and this is how we paskin, say the line is 10%. Under 10% is considered a miut she'eno matzui, and you don't have to worry at all. But Rashi holds, and this is how the Rishonim followed up after Rashi, and this is how we paskin like the Achronim, that anything from 10%, a frequency of 10% and up, even though it's a minority, it's called a miyot hamotzui, and there's a chiyav to check. Yeah.
Why? What's their source for
10%? It's not clear. Okay. There's no. It's their sense of the. There is no source. Good child.
Miyot is 49%. What's considered miyot?
Right. Miyot is 49%. Right. Correct. Now. Okay, Beseder. So getting back to our question, if it's true what Rashi said that for the lungs, we have to be concerned that because it's a mir hamatsui, we should check. So then, who's going to have a problem? Who this flies in the face of who? Rav Huna. Rav Huna, as we said at the very outset of this year, he said nishchet harehi becheskas heter. If it's shechted, it's going to be fine. So how does Rashi and Rav Huna? How do they? How can you reconcile those two opinions? So the Shach makes the following comment. The Shach is in Yoredeya, Simin Lamites, Sifkot and Ches. And the Shach says that really the din is that Nishchato Harehe Becheskas Heter, Min HaTorah, Midrabanon, that's the din. The animal is Becheskas Heter. But what Rashi is telling us, and all the Rishonim afterwards, and the Psach that the Shulchan Aruch holds, that you have to check. For the Nekuvas Hareya, that's because there is a Chiyuv Derabonon L'chatchilo to check. When you have a Mir Hamotzu, when you have a frequent minority case, like the hole in the lung, then Derabonon put an overlay of a Chiyuv Derabonon L'chatchilo to check. The animal really, begufa, is becheskas heter, but you have to check. So what's the nafkamina, for example? The case, I think I mentioned this case to you last week, let's say you shech the animal and you're taking out the lungs to check, and a dog comes by and grabs the lungs and runs off with it, and now you can't check anymore. So what do we say now? So it's becheskas heter, right, it's becheskas heter, and it's okay. In principle, it should be okay. So there's a big machlokas we've shown him whether lamaisa we're going to allow this, because there was a concern that Jews would all of a sudden open up slaughterhouses, schlachthouses, with dogs around. And it just so happens all the time that the dogs are running away with the lungs. There's a plague of dogs taking away lungs. So in order to prevent this sort of ha'arama, this sort of trickery, So there are those who are machmir, those who are it was a big machlokas. But still, getting back to the basic principle of the matter, the matter remains as Rav Huna said. Nishkata harehi becheskes hete, but there's a chiyav de rabbanon lechatchila check. So we have to check. That's the din. We do have to check. And indeed, that's the psak by the mechaber. That's the din in the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya Simon Lamites Sif Aleph that we have to check for Nekuvas Areya. That's the din. That's what the Nosa Kalim Paskin. That's how we Paskin. Now, what are the guidelines then for checking the lungs? What are we supposed to do? So let's start with the following. The key Gemara is in Chulin, Memvav Amud Beis. This is where everything hinges. With regard to Galat and understanding Galat, it's Chulin Memvav Amud Beis, and it cites a psak of Rava. Okay, and this is what Rava says. He says, "Hani tarti one." He says these two lobes of the lungs, cows. Okay, if you can imagine a cow with like two lungs, right? But it's not really so. Each lung has multiple parts to it. Okay, they have lobes to their lungs. Okay, so it's like lots of parts to their lungs. It's whether cool or gross, however you want to look at it. But there are a lot of parts to their lungs. And they're called one. Okay, they're called lobes. So he says, Hani tarti one. Let's say you take two lobes. The srichin lahadadi, that adhere through fibrous tissue one to another. These are called sirchot. Let's say, for example, you would open up a cow. We have
this is going to be a terrible picture, but can you imagine a lobe? Okay, like these lobes, okay, sticking out of lungs. Okay, whatever. It's really terrible. Okay, and pretend these are lobes. Okay, and we'll call this lobe one, lobe two, lobe three, and lobe four. And what you sometimes have are these sirchot, this fibrous, gelatinous type of tissue, adhering. Like this. It's stringy. It's fibrous. I mean, it's not just like mucus. It's hard. Okay, it's like it's like this hardened stuff. Okay, so Rava states again. Rava says, "Hani tarti oni." Okay, you have two lobes, either one and two or one and three. They're adhering through fibrous tissue. The srichin lahadadi les lahu bedika. He says, there's no bedika for it. The pashtus is that it's a trefa. In other words, when you have sirchot at this stage, he seems to say, less lubedika, there's nothing you can do, it's over, it's a problem. But then he says, velo amran, and when do we say this? Ela shelo kisidron, when the adhering is out of order. In other words, what would be out of order? One to three. If the lobes that are adhering one to another are in order, like one to two, or two to three, that's something else. But if it's one to three, then it's less lehu bedika. Okay, when it's out of order, that he says again, below Omron, Elishol Kisidron. When do we say less Lahubadika? When do we say there's no way to check it and fix it and it's a problem? When it's out of order. Aval Kisidron, but when the adherence between the lobes is in order, either lobe 1 to lobe 2, or lobe 2 to lobe 3, Hainu Ribisayu. This is their, Hainu Ribisayu means this is their natural position. It's not really clear what that means. So, at this point, what we do know from Rava, from the Psak of Rava, no one contests his approach, is that if you have lungs that adhere out of order, it's finished. It's a trefa, nothing, there's nothing you can do. If they're adhering in order, then hainu ribisayu, this is the normal, natural state. So, it's not clear. Does that mean now I should do the checking, or now it's totally fine, and I don't have to do anything? In other words, if it's 1 to 2, do I say, great, and I can eat it? Or do I say, now, at this stage, I should start checking and see if this is going to work out to be kosher. So, of course, it's a machlokas rishon. The Rashba and the Ran are mekel. The Rashba and the Ran paskin that if the adherence is in order, then you don't have to check. It's fine. It's totally fine. You have to check anything else, you don't have to worry. You can eat it. You know, you shecht it, you take out the lungs. Let's say you see adherence between the lungs, but the lobes that are adhering are all in order. You can go to the barbecue. Okay? And that's, by the way, how the Mechaber paskins. The Mechaber paskins that way. It's in, you can look it up, it's in Yordea, Simon Lamed Tes, Sif Dalad. However, Ashkenazi poskim are more machmir. Rabbeinu Gershom, the Ritzvo, the Smak, and ultimately the Ramo are machmir. The Ramo is in Yoredea, also Simin Lamites, Sif Dalet. The Ramo, and based on these Rishonim Paskins, that if it is in order, then he says you have to go ahead and check. Okay. If it's out of order, game over. It's no good. It's trefa. If the sirchot are in order, hainu ribisayu, it's the natural position, and therefore you should go ahead and now check to see if there are any problems. Okay. So Rashi is not super machmir. He's just saying you can't just sit back. You have to now go check a little bit further. And in fact, if you look in the Gemara Chulin and Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, Rav Nechemya did something similar to this. Rav Nechemya, when faced with this sort of case, he did a check. Okay, that's part of this position. That's part of what bolsters this more machmir position. Do you want me to shut this off? Does anyone want this on? It's right. Do you want it on or not? Is everyone? Who wants me to shut it off? Okay, believe it. Okay, if anyone wants to look, so the question is though, what's behind this machlokas? What's behind the machlokas Rishonim and machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah? So it's an amazing thing. The Nose Kalim on Yardaya, Simon Lamites, say the following. They say the machlokas hinges on why there are sirchot. Why are there these fibrous, gelatinous tissues running around over there? And I've spoken to people who are real experts in the field, because people have asked me, what do you mean, is machlokas rishonim? Just ask the doctors, ask veterinarians, speak to, you know, people who are experts in cow physiology. Why do you have to have a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos about this? So the answer is, no one knows. When you speak to experts, they really don't know where these sirchot come from. They don't understand. So this is the machlokas. Rashi in Chulin, this is in Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, says that the sirchot, these fibrous gelatinous tissue, come from the fact that there are holes in the lung. Right. Imagine a stalactite cave. How many people have been in stalactite caves? Right. Okay. So, if there's a hole in the lung, so there's stuff dripping out
from the whole. Okay, and eventually it just attaches to something else and becomes fibrous and hardens. That's what Rashi says. But he says the fact that you see sirchot is a simen. Okay, it's a simen that there's a hole. Well, okay, we'll get to that. Okay, but the point is, if it's there, it means there at least was a hole. Okay, the question is, are they now covered up and sealed? But if they're there, that means there was a hole, at least. Okay, yeah.
A lack of sirchot is completely
kosher. Right, if there are no sirchot, that means the lungs, if you put your hand inside, okay, as the shochi will often do, they'll shecht it, the bodek will put his hand in, and run it over, and there are no sirchot, that's called glat. What is glat is Yiddish for smooth, the lungs are smooth. But in Hebrew, it's called basar chalak. Okay, smooth, this means smooth lungs. Okay, if your pizza is glat kosher, that means someone put their hand all over the pizza. Right, or your ice cream. You can't have glat kosher ice, unless they did an MRI on the cow that gave the milk. But it's ridiculous to call dairy products, and I've seen it, I'm sure you've seen it, glat kosher. I've been to hotels where sometimes they'll say, we have glat kosher dairy. Anyway, but so glat and chalak refer to the lungs that they're smooth. In any event, Rashi, as we said, says that if there are sirchot, if there is this gelatinous material, simen, that there's that there was or is a hole. Tosfos, though, this is in Chulin Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, says no. Tosfos says that the sirchot basically comes from some type of liquidous, gelatinous material that's running around in the chest cavity. And, it's in the chest cavity, and it somehow adheres and attaches and forms on the lungs. Now, so what does it have to do with a hole? So Tosfos says, well, listen, imagine a cow, which weighs a tremendous amount, and its lungs also weigh a tremendous amount. These big lungs with lobes. And when it's walking and moving around, it's all swinging around in there. It's a big thing. So imagine that there is attachments over here of hard gelatinous material between them. What is going to happen if they stretch too far? It's going to rip a hole in the lung. Okay, that's what Tosfos says. He says not, like Rashi said, if there are these things, it's a simen. According to Tosfos, it's the goring, it's the sibo. It's a siba for the hole. It's the siba, if you want to say it that way. But, okay, it's the siba for the hole. It's the gore. The debate that we just had.
Yeah.
Between Machaber and the Ramon. I'll get to that in a second. Okay? So, but everyone understands so far this debate? Okay? Now, you asked the right question. Maybe you asked the question of what the my nafkamina. So, the nafkamina is exactly the question of doing a bedika when you find them in order or out of order. So let's think about this for a second. Okay? If the sirchot, if the adhesions are out of order, like 1 to 3, so according to Tosfot, that it's going to rip, it's going to tear it. It's a problem. That's it. It's going to tear, so this is a trefa, finished. Don't even bother, it's all over. This animal's mugdar a trefa because it was gonna tear apart. Rashi says it's a simen that there's a hole. Okay? So there's a hole, there's a problem. What about from 1 to 2 or from 2 to 3? The Gemara said, Hani Ribi Saya. Rava said it's natural state. So what? So it seems the way it follows is like this. According to Tosfos, if they're in order, so the tension will not be that great between 1 and 2 and 2 and 3. Okay, when there's movement in the animal, it's not going to cause a tear or rip when they're adjacent. But according to Rashi, this is no bearing on this. What's the issue according to Rashi? There's a hole. So the only thing is, though, Rashi does say explicitly that since there's this material coming out of the hull. So at times it is a film that goes over the hull, it covers the hull, and it's basically sealing it and plugging the hull. If it's plugged, there is no hull. Now, it depends, says Rashi. If it's a superficial plug that's going to come off and it's not really adhering so well, this plug, so then it doesn't count. It's not a plug. But if it's really sealed up well and it's positioned in such a way that it's never going to become unplugged, then it loses its status as a whole. And it's considered shalem, okay, complete, again. So according to Rashi, it depends. When there's a sikha between 1 and 2 and 2 and 3, okay? So let's say between 1 and 2. Very often these lungs, I drew it on the board in such a way that there's a physical gap between 1 and 2. But very often they're like laying on one another, or covering one another. And it actually causes, Rashi says, a protection. In certain cases, the hole is sealed up and protected by the overlay of the other lobe. So it depends. So according to Rashi, in other words, you have to check. You have to see what type of sircha is it. What is the nature of the sealant? Is it plugged well? Is it positioned well? You have to check. But according to Tosfos, you don't have to check. It's totally fine. If it's in order, there's not enough tension between the lobes to tear it. It's fine. According to Rashi, you have to check, and that's the difference. According to the Mechaber ends up passing along the lines like Tosfos, that you don't have to check. It's fine. According to Rashi, you do have to check, and that's how the Ramah works out. So a lot of Nosei Kalim say that's the Machokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah.
But according to Rashi, you can count a bunch of whether they're out of order or in order, because the only issue would be whether there's a hole or not. If they're out of order, it's still sealed with a hole.
No, if they're out of order, then the hole's not going to seal. It's finished. We assume that it's not going to be sealed properly.
What if the seal actually seals the hole? It doesn't matter if the lens is here, but it's actually sealed.
Rashi assumes that it's not going to seal well. He says the only way it's going to seal well if it's actually covered by the lobe and it's being protected, and in such a case we can say it's been reformed, that the hole's being covered up and plugged. Yeah.
According to Tosfos, the shechel caused the error in the lobe. So if you shuck the animal, it has the shechel, but it hasn't actually, the lobe hasn't torn.
It's a category. Since the lungs are this way, this animal is a trefa. It's nidon al shem sofo.
Even if the lung is still listed.
Yes, right. Okay, we judge it based on what will happen. Since it's inevitable that this from here it's going to be torn apart, that's how it's judged. Okay, so how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? If we go through the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, what does all this mean for us? In terms of glot, do we have to be makpid for glot or not? What's the difference? So I'm going to read to you from the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber writes in Yordea Siman Lametes Sif Aleph as follows: Ein sarich livdok achar shum trefos min hastam. In general, for trefos you don't have to check. Chutz min hareya sarich livdok bebehema v'chaya imish basircha. Except for the lungs, you have to check. You know, for the lungs, you do have to check to see if there are any adhesions. V'chol haparitz geder le'achol, below bedika. Whoever ignores this and just eats from the meat without doing such a bedika, yishachenu nachash, should be bitten by a snake. It's in the Gemara. It's a phrase, he took it from the Gemara. The Gemara has this type of phrase that when people ignore rabbinic commands to check or do certain things, l'chatchila, so the Gemara says people who don't do this, they should be bitten by a snake. Now the Shulchan Aruch continues. Ona hasrucha la ona. If you have one lobe adhering to another lobe, so he says shelo kisidron trefa. If it's out of order, like 1 to 3, it's finished. No good. It's trefa. Kisidron, says the Mechaber, ksheira afilu below bedika. Okay, that's. So it's one chum. It's very either very machmir, very mekel. If it's shelo kisidron or machmir, It's Kesidron, says the Mechaber, we're totally Mekel, you don't even have to check, it's fine. Then the Mechaber continues in Sif Yud. Kolmakom sha'osru sruchos harea, wherever there's a prohibition to eat the meat because of these adhesions, when is there such a problem, according to the Mechaber? When it's 1 to 3, when it's Shalok Kesidron. Ein hefresh bein shetei hasircha daka kechut hasa'ara. It doesn't make a difference how thin that adhesion is. Okay, that fibrous gelatinous material, even if it's as thin as a hair, bein shetei ava v'chazaka v'rechava kegoldel, or whether it's as thick as the thumb, it doesn't make a difference. It's still considered a problem. It's a treifa. And then the Mechaber says, the lo ki'osam shememachim biyad, and we should not do like those who do miyuch biyad. Miyuch means to rub away at the adhesion. V'imnit ma'acha tolim lahake. What do? They say, if it rubs away, if this fibrous gelatinous material rubs away when you rub at it, it shows that it's not a true sircha. It was just what's called rear biyama. Rear means just liquid. Okay, it wasn't a sircha. And it's, there all this sort of stuff flying around inside the chest cavity, right? So, fibrous gelatinous material, sirchot, and there's what? Fluids. And they're fluids. Good term. Okay, and they're fluids. So how do we know what it is? So some people claim that if you can rub it away and it disappears, that's not a bona fide, genuine, registered sircha. That's just fluid. So the Mechaber says, we don't do that. We don't hold that way. If you see that fibrous gelatinous material, you don't rub away. We just assume it's a problem if it's shelo kisidron. And then he says, v'chol hanohe king, whoever does do miyuch and rubs it away and thinks it's okay, ki'ilu ma'achil trefos li Yisrael. It's as if he's feeding trefos to Jews. Okay? This is the Mechaber, Yosef Karo. Now let's get to the Ramo. So the Ramo in Yoredea, Simon Lamites, Sif Dalid, writes as follows. He has a different take on this. He says, V'yesh omrim, da'afilu the kisidron, even when there's adhesion in order, like from 1 to 2, tsorech bedika, she'enek ebrei. You still have to check to make sure that there's no hole in the lung. So who's being more machmir? Ramo says you gotta check. It's not enough. If it's kisidron, if it's shelo kisidron, it's a treif. If it's kisidron, you gotta check. Okay. The Mechaber said, no, it's fine, you can eat it already. Ramo says you gotta check. And then he continues and says, B'yesh matirin l'mashmesh b'sirchot u'lema'ech behen. Now the Ramo says, for Ashkenazim, he's talking about in Poland, he says the Ashkenazi Jews of Poland have among them those that allow to miuch, that you could rub away at these sircha. The omrim, and what do they say? Shesircha. In yemaech adam bakol hayom, a true, bona fide, genuine sircha, if you would rub away and try to get it off, lo tinatek, it would never be removed. Therefore, if it is rubbed away, tolin lahakel. So we're makel. The omrim she'eno sircha elarir bi'alma. We assume it's not a genuine sircha, but it was just fluid, and we don't have to worry. Now, right over there on that ramah, the nosei kelim comment, and they say, you know what? It makes a lot of sense. It's not so crazy. What did the Mechaber say? Anyone who does this, Kilomachel Trefos in Israel. And he was very staunch against this. But the Nosei Kelim say, makes sense. Yisvara, if you rub it away, so it's just fluid. Then the Ramah continues. The Afal Pishi Shehu Kula Gidola, even though it's a big, big Kula, that you're allowed to rub away these circles, if it's out of order, from 1 to 3, even though he says it's a big Kula, Kvarnogu Kol B'nei Medinos Elu. Where's he talking about? Poland. Okay, all the different townships in Poland already make all this way. Ve'ein limchot biyadam. Ve'ein limchot biyadam. Don't protest. Me'acha sheyesh lem amah sheyismechu. Since they have whom to rely on. So how would you say the Ramah is dealing with this right now? Does he think this is l'chadchila? He's not thrilled about it, but he recognizes that there's a minhag and we shouldn't protest and have who to rely on. And if you look in the Maharshal says the same thing. They're not thrilled, but they say there's what to rely on. There's a Masorah to rely on.
Do they say that you can do this for all
Sirchot?
All Sirchot. Even the one...
Even Shalok Kisidron, even from 1 to 3. Huh?
Only if they can be rubbed away.
Yeah. If you rub them and they disappear, then we're told that it's Rir B'Alma, and you could be Mekel. He's not thrilled about it. Now the Ramah then continues, and this is what he says. V'li Nira, but according to me it appears, Shalok Lema'ech Bevardo. You shouldn't do Mi'och on the lobe. There's one of the lobes of a cow is called a varda lobe. Don't do it on that. It's a certain colored lobe. And then he says, furthermore, uvechol sirchot shehem shelo kisidron. And furthermore, you should not do miuch on all sirchot that are out of order. This is what the Rama says. Why? Miachar shesircha shelo kisidron treifa muska begemara. Since basically it says pretty clearly in the Gemara that if the adhesion is out of order, it's a trefa. In other words, less lehu bedika. There's nothing you can do. So the Ramah, what's the Ramah's sense of the reading of the sugya? That there's no real room for this. At least that's what he feels. And he says ve'ein cholek alav, and no one in the Gemara argues on this point. So he says therefore ein lesmoch adivrei hamekilin ve'inyan hamiyoch v'hamishmushim. You shouldn't rely on those who are mekel in rubbing away the sirchot. Aval haminog bi'irenu. Nonetheless, the minog in our town. What town? When he says our town, what town is he talking about?
Krakow.
Okay, in Krakow, Poland. He's talking now in the mid 1500s. Aval haminog bi'irenu l'mashmesh ulema'ech b'kol ha'sirchot. Nonetheless, despite what I said, he's the chief rabbi of the town. He's the Ramah. But nonetheless, in his town, the minhag was to do miuch on all sirchot. Ve'ein chiluk bein sircha l'sircha, without distinction between the sirchot, we do miuch. Then he says, but nonetheless, he says, v'nochal nochush l'mashe kasavti, but nonetheless, it's correct to be careful from what I wrote. What did he, again, what's the Ramah's personal position? Not to do it. She says, V'nochul nochush l'mashe kasavti, imlo behefsid meruba. Unless it's going to be a big loss. But otherwise, he's not a fan. That's the Ramah. So if we bring the Ramosha Isilis into this room, okay, the posek for Ashkenazic Jewry, what if we asked him, you know, we say, Rabbeinu, Rebbe, should we be makbid for glat or not? What would he say? What do you think he would say? Yes. He would say, we should be. You think that's preferable? If someone was mekel, what would he say? Would he say, the guy's an avarian? No, chas v'shal. He would say, yesh lo amal l'smoch. But if you asked him what to do, he would say, to be careful. Now, the Bach, who's also an he was an Ashkenazi, of Yola Circus, writes even more mekel. He says that the minog was to be mekel even without a hefsid meruba. He says before the minog of Ashkenazim in Poland was to be very mekel, that even when there was no loss of money or no big loss of money, they were mekel. And then he says v'hanach liyisrael mutav shishogim v'altu mezidin, and leave him alone. Better that there should be shogeg and not mezid. How does that sound? Not so good. He's just, in other words, he's saying that despite what the Ramah said, that you should only rely on the heter in a hefsid meruba, the facts on the ground were that Jews were being megal lechatkila. And then he said, so what should we do about it? Right? Nothing. Let them be shogeg and don't, instead of being mazing. So, okay. So clearly, while in principle, in theory, there is room to be makel for Ashkenazim, the Ramah, in the end, when you really want to know his true position, it seems that he feels that you should be more machmir. And also, he's more machmir with regard to the bedika, these bedikos of sirchot that are kisidron, right? The mechaber, what does the mechaber say? If it's 1 to 2, do you have to check at all? No, it's fine. But Ashkenazim, hold, you got to check. Okay? Now, there's an interesting comment that the Rama also has. He says, "Od nahagu bi'irenu." We have another minhag in Krakow. Lahatrif kol sirchot gidiyim utloim. Anytime there's a young goat and there's a sircha, there's an adhesion in the young goat's lungs, or there's a young sheep, otherwise known as a lamb, okay, lamb chops. Okay, so if it has a sircha in its lungs, we're machmir. We don't do milch. The egalim harachim and young calves, also known as veal. The lo limayech behem klal. For these young goats, young sheep, young calves, we don't do milch. Even though normally the minhag was to be mekel chatchila, or at least be very mekel. Nonetheless, these same people are mekel, were machmir by these young calves, young sheep, young goats. Ki yesh kabbalah bazeh, lahatrif. Because we have a kabbalah, we have a mesorah to be matrif these. Ki hasircha adain racha umitnateket ayde milch. It's a great svar. He says, what was the whole point of milch? Why did you rub away? To see if it was a bona fide sircha. Because if it was a real sircha, what would happen? It would never rub away. Right? But the Rama says, if it's a young calf, a young sheep, a young goat, it would rub away, even if it's a real sircha, because it's too young. It hasn't developed yet. So there's no way to know. The milch now is no longer a viable checking method. When it's a young calf, a young sheep, a young goat. So therefore the Kabbalah then was, no, we're not going to be mekel in such a case. We don't do milch in such a case. So according to the Rama then, if you were in Krakow and someone served you lamb chops or veal, what would you know for sure? It's gone. Exactly. Doesn't it mean it's sealed up?
Yeah.
Then it's fine. Yeah, then it's great. Yeah, if it was sealed up, correct. If it was sealed, then it would be okay. The Rama says also that in Krakow, where the people were makel to do this meal, they wanted to be extra careful. Okay, so imagine you're a shochet in Krakow, and you're following the minhag of the makom. So what's the minhag of the makom? You find the sircha shelo kesidron. What are you going to do? You're going to do milch, right? That's the minhag of the makom. They did milch, and you rub it away. It disappears. Sure enough, it disappears. So what? Based on this, now what should be the din? It should be kosher according to the minhag of makom. So the Rama says, nonetheless, in addition, they would do one more check just to make sure that they got it right. They would blow up the lungs. They would somehow blow into the lungs and hold it, and then put it into warmish water and go see if there were any bubbles. Because if there were bubbles, obviously there are holes. Okay, there's a hole. Right, and have you ever seen them fix a tire? Have you ever gone to like a garage? If you have a flat, so. They can sometimes fix the you don't have to always change the tire. Sometimes you can just fix the flat. So they take the they blow it up and they put it in, submerge it with a high pressure machine underwater, and you see if they can locate the bubbles and they can find the hole, then they seal it up sometimes. So so this is the same concept. What?
How would you seal up the lung to make it a full hole to be able to
use the tire? I think just hold it tight.
Hold the top.
Yeah, something like that. You've seen what? You've seen it, yeah. Keep it down. Sure. Yeah.
I didn't hear you.
Why would they use this method of checking for the
whole world? If you don't need to check, why do it?
If you do mi'ah in the certain days, then we assume that ask for now will check whether or not they actually have a hole now.
Right, because according to Tosfos, even though it doesn't have a hole now, it will. So neither nor him, so far finished. According to Rashi, there's a hole somewhere. It may be right now covered up, but it will deteriorate and disintegrate, and the hole will be opened up again in the future. Okay, now, would you say that Ashkenazim or Mamachmir or Sfardim or Mamachmir? So it really depends. When you go through all the halakhas, if you would like line it up, for laws of Shechita, the Mechaber is more Mekel than the Ramah. The Ramah, when you've learned Hilchas Shechita, I think I mentioned to you this last week, the Ramah constantly, it's a refrain in the Ramah, V'ano b'ni Ashkenazim machmir. V'ano b'ni Ashkenazim machmir. We keep saying again and again, Sif after Sif, Simen after Simen, that's the refrain. It's unbelievable. That's in Hilchas Shechita. When you go to Hilchos Trefos, so it depends. We saw that the Mechaber felt that Milch was a big no-no, it's Kilo Machal Trefos Yisrael. Right? The Ramah doesn't think that. But the Ramah does agree that that's the better way to approach it, that you should be machmir not to do miuch. But b'di'eved, we're mekel. On the other hand, the Ramah is more machmir that you should check sirchot kisidron. If it's 1 to 2, you're supposed to check. According to the basis, if not. So let me ask you, on the market today, when you go shopping, if you go shopping, and you come across hot dogs that are meat hot dogs or steak or beef burgers or things like that. So and it says Chalak Beit Yosef. Okay, it says Galat according to the Mechaber. So if it's a pure Sfardi Hechsher, so would Ashkenazim feel totally comfortable with this? In theory, would they feel totally comfortable? Right, because they said from Shechita's standpoint, we're Machmir. How do I know the Shechita is good? And from the standpoint of being Bodek Sirchot Kisidron, we're more machmir. So I spoke to Sephardic Mashkichim and Poskim, and they told me, all of them said the same thing. They said, that's true in theory, but in practice, because they all want to sell to Ashkenazim, they want to sell to the whole market, they bring up their standards in all these areas exactly to the Ashkenazim, even more. The super machmir. So in other words, Beit Yosef Chalak means the Shechita is at the standards that the Ashkenazim would want, and they when they say it's Chalak Beit Yosef means there are no Sirchot whatsoever. Okay, if it's Kisidron, what would an Ashkenazi say? You got to check, right? But Sfardim, would they allow checking Kisidron? We allow miuch or anything like that? He doesn't allow that. Mechaber would hate that. So basically, if it's shalok kisidron, it's a problem for Sfardim, and if it's kisidron and they want to produce it for the market, they're not going to do miuch. So what do they do? Huh? Well, they won't, because they can't do miuch either. So basically, what they're doing is there's no sirchot. The only way they're going to allow it on the only way they're going to give a hechsher is if it's totally clean. Yeah.
According to the Ashkenazi term, a sirchot that's kisidron, even if it's still there, it could still be kosher.
It's still be kosher, right? But you have to check. You have to still do some meal. You have to do. It may require that. It may require some of that as well. But the Sfardim don't want to get into that. They don't want to go near that. So they just machmir. So that's why if you get chalak beit yosef, basically you're getting meat that the lungs have no tissue, they have no none of these adhesions at all. Bein kisidron bein shelo kisidron. Nothing. Yeah. Okay. No. So they won't call it glot. Glot means at the moment. In technically, it means at the moment that you checked, it was clean. Because if it's glot Ashkenazi, then
Well, I guess, right, if it's Glatt Ashkenazi, it's also going to come out to be the same thing. Right, the difference is, the Glatt Ashkenazi, at the very base level, at the basic level, would have to be totally clean. Glatt Svardi, the Svardi Glatt, really doesn't have to be that way. But in practice, that's what they do. No. Svardim, for them, Sklat would really, for themselves, as long as it's smooth, at the Shalokis Sidron's point, they're fine. They would call it, but in practice, they make sure it's totally clean. Okay, so basically, when you get Beit Yosef Chalak, or Ashkenazi Chalak, you're talking about lungs that are totally totally clean. So again, if it's right. I think they don't like that whole thing. They just don't like the principle. They don't like the principle. They don't want to go near it. They don't want to go near it. I've spoken to the public. They say, I don't want to talk about it. We don't do that. Like that's like they're totally against the whole idea. Okay, so we'll stop here. But at this point, there's still a bit more to talk about what's on the market, and we'll have to talk about other animals. But that's the story about the basics of Glatt. Okay, we'll...